Yitzchak. And the first piece, Rav Huttner says, what's really so terrible about a Malik? We need to understand, right? We need to understand the essence of a Malik. Why were they so evil? Why do they need to be destroyed? It's a long piece. We'll just learn. We're going to learn a little bit of it. Okay, but he begins with the pasuk that Bilam says in Parshas Balak, Reishis goyim amalik v'achriso ade ovid. That really sums up the whole story of Amalek. Reishis goyim amalik. They were the first of nations. They were the Reishis, the first one to attack us when we came out of Mitzrayim. And yet, achriso, their end, ade ovid. What does ade mean? Like ade ad. Forever. Eternal. Achriso, their end is going to be ade ovid, is going to be eternal destruction. In other words, the only one who's not going to make it at the end of days is Amalek. Which is very interesting. That means a lot of the enemies of the Jewish people and humanity in the world right now can have a tikkun. What we're about to learn is that Amalek, unfortunately, it seems like Amalek can't have a tikkun at all. They're irreparable. Seifa d'hachra kachu misparish. This is how to understand the end of the pasuk. Afal pishit kufas achris hayamim hit kufa kazu. Even though the end of days is going to be a tkufa, period, sheyesh batzad tikun l'umas ha'olam, that all of the nations of the world are going to undergo a rectification, everything is going to get lifted up. Hey, John Berger, welcome. Welcome back. Okay, throwback Sunday. So even though the end of days is going to be, what, a time where everything has a tikun, everything gets fixed, like Rashi says on the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Have you remember this Rashi? It's an amazing Rashi. You know how Rashi reads the pasuk? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How does Rashi? Anyone remember this Rashi? Hashem Elokeinu. Right now, Hashem is Elokeinu, our God. But in the future, Hashem Echad. It's an amazing Rashi. Hashem is going to be the God of the whole world. But there's someone who's not coming along for the ride. And that's someone who wages war against Hashem, like it says in the. And the parshas B'shalach, Milchama LaHashem ba'Amalek. Amalek and God are kiviyachol battling each other. Mikol makom Amalek ein shum tikun. Gam betkufas achris hayamim. Amalek cannot be fixed even at the end of days. Which is just, again, there's so many evil people in the world right now. And we're saying that what? That some of these people somehow are going to come to recognize the truth of Hashem? But Amalek, for some reason, we're going to learn what that midah is that stops Amalek from being fixed. Amalek, even in the end of days, will not be able to be fixed. It's an amazing and really tragic thing. U'mikeivan shebetkufa zu shal achres hayamin lo yimtza shum davar she'inu betukan. In the times of the end of days, there's nothing. We won't find anything that can't be fixed. So what's going on with Amalek? Hare muchach hu shetkufas achres hayamin. Hitkufas habdon la malik. It must be, like the pasuk says. Again, at the end of the days, you have two choices. Either you join, you allow yourself to be fixed, you allow yourself to recognize the truth of Hashem, or you're obliterated. So that's what our pasuk is saying, right? Amalek, in the end of their story is achriso ade oved, right? Their end is going to be nothing other than eternal oved, destruction. Why? The end of the story is going to be Achris Hayamim. When the world is undergoing a fixing, Amalek, for whatever reason, is not allowing itself to be fixed. And we need to understand why that is. Why is that so? How could that be? Vizeda Amalek hu reishis gayim, hu mipnei ki Amalek hi ha'uma harishona shabal lihilachim liYisrael. Why do they call it? Let's put the whole pasuk together now. Again, go back to the first line. Reishis gayim Amalek. Amalek is the first one to attack us on the way out of Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people had just experienced awesome miracles. They're the first ones to start up with us. But Achriso, their end, is going to be nothing other than eternal destruction. So we need to understand. Dehainu. Shekol ha-goyim misnagdim heim li-Yisrael minolchamim behem. Uvisnagdis zu shehi melchemes ha-goyim bi-Yisrael harei Amalek haya harishon. Right? Everyone attacks us. Unfortunately, that's the story of the Jewish people. We're always getting beat up by the world. But there's something about what Bilam HaRasha in his prophecy is revealing, right, through the words of the Torah, Bamidbar Perek Chav Dalet, is that there's something about the nature of Amalek that they attacked first. And it's for that reason, because they attacked first, somehow they're not going to be able to be fixed at the end of days. We need to understand why. What does it mean? What does it say about Amalek that they were the first ones to wage battle against us when we came out of Mitzrayim? Okay, so friends, we need to learn a very, very simple truth, which I promise you is very relevant to your spiritual success. This is not, even though Rav Huttner shares very deep ideas, there's nothing that we are about to learn that can't be applied in the most real way. This is a very serious Musar Shmuz from Rav Huttner. Here's what he says. Os Beis. Parshas Mechias Amalek Smucha Hi LaParshas VaYishma Yisro. What Parsha comes after B'Shalach? Yisro. What happens at the end of Parshas B'Shalach? Amalek attacks us. What happens at the beginning of Yisro? VaYishma Yisro. Yisro hears about the miracles that took place on the way out of Mitzrayim, and Yisro comes to join the Jewish people. So Chazal, with their great wisdom, our great sages, contrast Amalek and Yisro. Chazal say, there's a pasuk in Mishle. The pasuk says, Leitz Taka. What's a Leitz? What's a Leitz?
Clown.
A clown, a jokester. Right? A person who makes jokes out of everything, who's not serious about anything. Leitzanus. That everything is a joke. And they try to undermine any type of thoughtful, serious conversation. Leitzanus has the ability to rip the whole thing down. So it says in Mishle, Leitz, a person who's a Leitz, take, you should strike. Strike the Leitz. Drive away the Leitz. Push that Leitzanus out of your life. The Yetzirah is a big Leitz. The Yetzirah makes a joke out of everything. Ridicules everything. Cynical, negative, pessimistic. Leitz take. The Leitz should be stricken. The Leitz should be driven away. Upesi ya'arim. But a pesi ya'arim. But a foolish person, right, who's open to what? To growing, ya'arim can actually become wise, can become smarter. Says the Medrash, Leitz take. Who's the Leitz that we should just destroy? Because they're not willing. They're not willing to learn. They're not willing to grow. They're not willing to listen. They always have a negative, cynical attitude, Zal Malik. Upesi Ya'arim, Zay Yisro. Yisro was also a big idol worshiper. But Yisro, when he finally found something truthful, he said, you know what, this is it, and I'm going for it. A Malik with their levity, with their Leitzanis, right, they undermine everything. So Leitz Takeh, says Mishle, Leitz Takeh, a foolish person, a person who has Midas Leitzanis, can't be fixed. Just strike them away. Push them away. Upasi, but a person who's a simpleton, Ya'arim is open to what? Is open to what? To becoming wise, to gaining knowledge. Yisro again. Yisro did a lot of errors in his life, so to speak. Yisro worshipped a lot of false gods. But he was open to what? To acknowledging the truth of Hashem when he saw it, when it smacked him in the face. Klomar, Ein ma'paloso shel Amalek mo'eles lo la'amalek atzmo. Ve'ein to'eles ba'ma'paloso rak la'mistako ba v'lo lo la'atzmo. Unfortunately, the downfall of Amalek, right, doesn't wake them up. You know, when a person messes up, a person, you know, does something wrong, right? So there's a part of ourself that feels, that knows it did something wrong and wants to grow from that. That's called tshuva. The antithesis of that is Amalek, that when I do an Aveira, so I make fun of it, and it's not actually a big deal. I try to make, nothing's a big deal. I did a terrible thing. And Amalek says, yeah, but who cares? Who really cares? Any decent human being knows when they do the wrong thing. It bothers them. So this midah of leitzanus, right, is that when they do something bad, they can't reflect on it. And only an outsider, leitz takeh, you should watch the downfall of Amalek, upesi yarim. And if you're a sensitive person, you're paying attention, you'll learn something from that. But Amalek themselves is never going to learn anything from that. V'tam davar zehu mipnei shamalek hu begeder leitz. The problem with Amalek is that they don't know how to take anything seriously. They have no respect for anything that's chashiv. There's no hierarchy. There's no sense that the Jewish people were just redeemed by Hashem with open miracles. Amalek's not impressed. They don't care. V'kach hi midaso shel aleitz. This is the midah of aleitz. She'ein hatochacha mo'ila lo. Aleitz can't receive any rebuke. Aleitz can't be self-reflective. Aleitz doesn't know how to grow. V'tzarech bi'ur heicha nimtzahu b'inyano shel amalek mahalach shel leitzanus. But let's try to understand more deeply. Where do we see that Amalek is the ultimate embodiment of leitzanus? Again, we know that they're evil. I would have said that they're the ultimate embodiment of Ra. But how do I know that their midah is leitzanus? That their midah is mockery? That their midah is folly and levity and poking fun at everything and cynicism? How do I know that? Where do we know that from? Now I want to just point out one thing b'derech remez is very interesting. This word takeh actually is a very interesting word. There's a three-letter name of Hashem that's made up of these three letters. What's interesting about this word is that its gematria is 425. 425 is the gematria of Hanukkah plus Purim. Because the last two holidays that the Jewish people were given, right, the 619th mitzvah of the Torah, well, not of the Torah really, right, there's 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, and then there are seven mitzvahs derabanan. The last two on the list, mitzvah 619 is Purim, and mitzvah 620, the keser, the crown, keser b'gematria 620, right, is Hanukkah. So mitzvah 619 is the mitzvah of Purim. 619 is the same gematria as the word achris, because that's what we're talking about here. Resh is gai ma'malik, va'achriso, and its end. Achris, right, resh is 200, tough is 400, so that's 600, and 10, and 8, and 1, 619. Right, so Purim is very much a holiday that focuses on what's going to be in the Achras, what's going to be in the Achras Hayamim. But it's interesting that to Abrut Amalek, which again is that all-encompassing evil that lingers until the end of days, we were given two holidays, Chanukah, Gematria 89, Purim, Gematria 336, together, it's Gematria 425. So the way that we strike, so to speak, the late sun is from our life is by understanding the depth of the Yamim Tovim Derabanan of Purim and Chanukah, Chanukah and Purim. Okay, that's a big koach to fight back. Because Yavan, by the way, our enemy on Chanukah, also had this midah of Leitzanus. Yavan has this, there's a certain gaiva that Amalek represents, that Yavan represents. They work very much hand in hand. I can't go into it right now because it's going to take us too far astray. But trust me, when I say that Chanukah and Purim, in many ways, are two sides of the same coin, and therefore Amalek and Yavan also are very much a similar midah of gaiva. An inability to what? To be mavatal, to bow down. That's why Haman's so obsessed with everyone bowing to him. Haman doesn't bow down to anyone else. Haman wants everyone to bow down to him. Same thing with Yavan. We spoke about it on Chanukah, right? How the letters Yud, Vav, Nun, they stand very straight, stand up tall. They refuse to humble themselves before anyone else. So if you're not willing to be makabel musar, if you're not willing to hear tochacha, if it doesn't, if you're not able to receive divrei musar, so then you can't grow, you can't change. You're not able to change yourself. I'm just realizing now, that's why musar is gematria Amalek plus Yavam. Because the opposite of musar is Amalek and Yavam. They're the antithesis of musar. They don't know how to receive musar. They reject any type of musar, any type of guidance, any type of admitting I made a mistake, I should do better, I could do better. They just laugh at everything. And that's part of the holy laughter of Purim. But let's read a little more inside. Behilchos leitzanus shaninu. Now, chevra, I don't want you to be confused. There's not going to find in the Shulchan Aruch a section on the laws of Behilchos leitzanus. What Rav Huttner means is that in the context of talking about leitzanus, the Gemara tells us the following rule. Okay, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Samach Gimel. Kol leitzanusa asira. All leitzanus is asir. You should never poke fun. I remember actually once, I'm just remembering now. When I was in ninth grade, I had a basketball coach. I went to a very small school, Torah Academy of Philadelphia Boys High School, Oliver Shalom, the school doesn't exist anymore. And basically anyone who could catch a ball was like a starter on the basketball team. We didn't even have a varsity and a JV team. There were only 40 kids in the whole school. So freshman year, I was already, you know, I already got to play. And I remember we were once playing against the school. We used to play against these you know, public schools and these big, huge inner city Philly kids who were dunking on our head. It was very exciting. Anyways, I remember one time, so one of the guys in the locker room was like making fun of someone's name on the opposing team. And I remember our coach got like so angry. He's like, "You never make fun of someone else's name. You don't poke fun at another person's name." I just remember like it was like so intense. I remember like it was such a powerful thing. You don't make fun of things. You don't make fun of people. You don't make fun of things. Respect the world that Hashem created. Don't be a leitz. But says the halacha, says the Gemara, there's one thing you can make fun of. You can make fun of Avodah Zarah. All Leitzanis is Aser, except for the Leitzanis of Avodah Zarah. You want to make fun of Avodah Zarah and poke fun at Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to make fun of Avodah Zarah. It's the opposite of God himself, the opposite of Hashem. V'halo barhu deheter zesha Leitzanis nemarhu b'chol pratav shal tzad hara b'vadei mutter lislotzeitz kol mashu shara u'mikol b'chinas ava. So the question is, hold on a second. You're allowed to slander, speak badly. You're allowed to ridicule anything that's evil. So why specifically did the Chachamim use the phrase Avodah Zarah? Lama naktu Chachamim hadugma? Why did the Chachamim choose the example of the heter of making fun of evil? Why did they say that's called Avodah Zarah? Make fun of Avodah Zarah. So Chevra, what we have to learn now is a comment from Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the great Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah's explanation of a pasuk in Mishlei, and Chevra, this will change your life. The way Rabbeinu Yonah reads this pasuk is life-changing. Here's what the pasuk says. Rabbeinu Yonah says, first the pasuk. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Matzreif lakesef, v'kur lizahav, v'ish lefi mahalala. What's a matzreif? A matzreif is like a furnace that refines precious metals. So matzreif lakesef, you take your silver, and the silver is unrefined, it's not pure silver, and you put it into some type of cauldron or some type of furnace, and you burn away all the impurities until you're left with what? With pure silver. Kur lezahav, similar thing. A kur, again, is some type of cauldron or furnace to purify gold, to remove the dross, to remove the impurities. So just like a furnace or a cauldron purifies silver and gold, ish lefi mahalalo, so too is a person according to his praises. What does that mean? What does that mean? The reputation you have, ish lefi mahalalo, if the same way that the silver is only as pure as what? As its time in the oven, as its time in the cauldron, burning away the negativity, so too is a person according to his reputation. What does that mean? Dilachora perish akasavhu. It seems that the pshat of the pasuk is da'ish nikar mitoch ofen ha'hilel shebnei adam mahalim oso. The same way that we can put a price tag on the silver in accordance with how refined it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know how valuable it is until I first put it through that purification process. So too what? When a person passes through the purification process of what? Of public opinion? So that tells you who he really is? That seems to be the pashup shot on the pasuk. It's very important to have a good reputation. Tov, shame, mishem and tov. Like it says, like the pasuk says, tov, shame, more important is a good name than shem and tov, than fine oil, which is very valuable and very desirable. It's very important to have a good reputation, that people should see you in a positive way. That's the pashup shot. Comes along Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says an unbelievable thing. Rabbeinu Yonah says, I'll tell you a different pshat. You know what ish lefi mahalalo means? It's not just about having a good reputation. It's not that a person is judged according to what people say about him, how people praise him, which is also very important. Not in a silly, superficial way, but in a real way. When people say nice things about you, and they mean it, that's very important. That's usually a good sign. It says in Pirkei Avos, if people like you, that means Hashem probably likes you. And if people are upset with you, then you have to ask yourself, maybe Hashem's not happy with me. Again, it has to be obviously a deep, you know, it's not just like likes and retweets, right? But it's a deep, if people appreciate you in a deep way, because you've worked on yourself, that's usually a good sign. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, you know what it means? It's not that a person is assessed by how people praise him, but rather what? Mitoch masha adam mehalel. You want to know who a person is? Have a listen to this, Rabbeinu Yonah. It'll change your life. You want to know who a person is? You want to know how to assess a person? What is he mahalel? What does he hold of? What's important to him? What does he value? What does he give chashivas to? Vizel l'shono shel Rabbeinu Yonah. Here's how Rabbeinu Yonah says it. Im hu mishabeach ha-maisim ha-tovim v'chachamim v'tzadikim. If he's the type of person that what? When he sees someone do a good thing, he says, that's the type of life I want to live. That's the type of person I want to be. When he sees a righteous person, when he sees a person who has true wisdom, and he's attracted to that, and he says, that's what matters in life. Teida uvachanta ki ha'ish tofu. That is a litmus test. That is a proof that this person is a good person. He values truly valuable things. Right? And the root of holiness, of sanctity, of righteousness is found by him. And listen to what he says here. He says, and even though I might not be on that madriga yet, and I do a lot of averos in my own private life, but at least I love holiness. I look up to people who are righteous. I look up to things that are holy. I may not be able to live that way. I may not be able to learn that way, or to daven that way, or to keep Shabbos that way, but I have it as a something I respect in a deep way. And I talk about, that's how I want to live. That's the type of person, either way, sure. That's the type of person that I want to be. V'amishabeach ma'isim megunim. However, if you're the type of person who praises what? Lowly things. Things that are gnai, things that are disgraceful. O mahalal rishayim. If you're Mahalo Risham, if you sing the praises of the wicked, Hu HaRasha HaGamor. That is such a deep revelation of who you are. That you look up to evil people. Right? You may not even say, I wouldn't do that, but I think that's pretty cool what this guy does. Lo Aleinu, if you're attracted to that, if you say that's who I respect, or those are the ideas that I value, or those are the you know, people that I spend time following and reading about and studying. That's what I'm interested in. Those are the people, those are my role models. So that's a terrible indication of the type of person you are. So it says, Rav Huttner, what an amazing Rabbeinu Yonah. Ish lefi mahalo means what? Not that a person, again, is assessed by what people say about him, how people praise him, but what does he praise? What does he value? What's important to him? How does he want to live? Even if he's not there yet, but how does he want to live? What's important to him? Yuyan sham heite b'lishono hazav shel Rabbeinu Yonah. So says Rav Huttner, study these words very, very carefully. Listen to what he's about to say. Klomar. If we want to undergo a litmus test, we want to be able to assess something. We want to know what is the value of a person? What is a person worth? What's he about? Ikar hasha'ilahi, the main question is, tnuas hazbatlus shelo. What is he mavatl himself to? What does he see as above? What does he look up to? Lahechan hu nota. In which direction is he leaning? Ditznuas his batlus shala adam. Because the direction that a person is trying to submit himself to, novas hi mikoach hakaras hachashivas. It stems, it emanates from what? From his understanding of what is important. Diba b'mida shuhu makir b'chashivuso shal eze inyan, because to the degree that he's in awe of that thing, he feels humbled in its presence. So let's give an example. Let's give a practical example. We have two people in front of us. Okay? Listen to this. One person studies Torah with tremendous diligence, tremendous effort and attention and focus. It puts in the time, it puts in the effort. Vasheni einenu klal begeder zeshal osik b'torah. And the second fellow doesn't learn as much. Okay, so you'll say the first guy is, you know, a better Jew. Who are we to judge? Avalu'um azos, but on the flip side, motziim anu etzel harishon tnuos shel isbatlus b'shosh shenichles elav asher gadol. Okay, listen to this. The guy who's learning in Kolel, who actually learns more hours of Torah a day, but the second he's in the presence of some big gevir, some rich guy who drives a Tesla, all of a sudden, this Kolel guy, who's supposed to understand that I'm a Ben Melech and I have the schus of learning Torah all day, all of a sudden he feels small in the presence of this guy who happens to have made it big in business and has a big house and drives a nice car and has a big fat watch on his wrist, and he feels small in his presence. And he looks up, he kind of wishes, and it's a part of him that says, you know what, I kind of wish I could switch places with this guy. And at the same time, because he's a guy, he's a Beis Medrash guy, you know, a Talmud Chacham walks into the room, he's not so moved by him, because I also learn a little bit, you know, I also know some Torah, right? He's standing in the presence of a guy who's worth millions. All of a sudden, you know, he's so respectful. But he's in the presence of Torah. He kind of takes Torah for granted. And on the flip side, you could have another guy. He doesn't necessarily learn as many hours as the first guy. Maybe he doesn't learn as many hours as the first guy because he has a large family and he has to work hard to provide for his family. He has to pay, you know, a lot of tuition bills for his kids to go to Jewish schools. And it costs a lot of money to buy kosher food and to live an Orthodox Jewish lifestyle. So maybe he learns Daf Yomi. He listens to his shir, right? He genuinely puts in the time that he can, but he's certainly not learning as much as the other guy. And yet, b'shah shehu nifkashim Talmud Chacham, but when he's in the presence of a Talmud Chacham, when he's in the presence of a tzaddik, he feels that he's in the presence of, you know, the greatest celebrity of all. Mishtali bo yachas shel chashivas v'zbalas. He is so in awe of that person. His heart wouldn't skip a beat if some, you know, big basketball player or some billion-dollar hedge fund guy walked into the room. That doesn't impress him. But if a tzaddik or a talmid chacham walks into the room, he feels overwhelmed by being in the presence of such chashivas, true value. B'chagon ze omer lo Rabbeinu Yonas. Rabbeinu Yonas says to us, so let me ask you, so which person is a better Jew? On the one hand, you have one guy who learns a lot more hours. On the other hand, you have a person who learns less, but his mind is in the right place. He knows what really matters. So who's more chashiv? Ish lefi mahalo, according to Rabbeinu Yonah's Yesod, the person who knows what really matters, the guy who happens to, whatever, he grew up a certain way that he's spent many years in the Beis Medrash, right? But he's more in awe of the guy who's driving the new Tesla down the street, right? Than he is hearing, you know, a new chiddush in a sugya. So then he's not in the right place. His mind is not heading in the right way. He doesn't value the right things. He doesn't appreciate, right, the really important things in life. And the other guy, maybe he's a more pashut yid, right? But he knows what's chashiv. He's not impressed by money, and he's not impressed by celebrity status, and he's not impressed by ability to shoot a basketball. He's impressed by what? He's impressed by tzidkus. He's in awe of the tzaddik's shona esrei, and he's in awe of the tzaddik's way of speaking, and he's in awe of the way the tzaddik, you know, kisses the sefer Torah when it comes out of the Aron Kodesh. Right? That's what matters to him. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the second Jew is in fact what? Is in fact a better Jew of sorts, right? If we were to, again, assess these two individuals, the second one is in many ways the greater of the two. So now, Chevra, let's jump ahead for a second. Explains Rav Huttner, let's go back. Why do we have a heter, so to speak, to make fun of Avodah Zarah? Why did the Gemara say it that way? All Leitzanis is a terrible midah. Leitzanis is a very, very evil midah, very destructive midah, right? And Leitzanis of Avodah Zarah is appropriate. However, in a sense, the opposite of Leitzanis is what we're learning here, Ish Lefi Mahalalo. What Rav Huttner writes here, he says there's a melchama, right over here, Shebe melchama zo shebein koach ha-hilil uben koach ha-leitzanis. That's the battleground. What do you value, what do you praise, and what do you make fun of? Who's cool and who's a loser? Who's important? Who's successful? And who's not? By the way, one of my chaverim pointed out to me recently, and he's absolutely correct, that we use the word success in a very, very dangerous way. When we talk about a person who's successful, very often what we're using that as a code word for a person who's rich. So just say he's rich. Don't say he's successful. Because if you showed up to Shir on a Sunday morning, you're successful in my eyes. That's called successful. This guy is rich. That's true. It's not nice to say a person's rich, right? You could say this person, maybe say it in a more refined way. This person has had financial success, right? This person is very wealthy. But don't give him, he doesn't earn the title, this is called successful. If you don't speak Lashon Hara, you're successful. If you have Shmiras Einayim, you're successful. If you put on tefillin this morning, right, or you still plan to do it sometime later today, you're successful. That's called successful. If you learn Torah, you're successful. Right? We have to be so careful. How do we sing the praises of something? And what do we look down upon? Right? Who do we look up to? And who do we think is, he's not so successful. Right? He couldn't make it big on Wall Street, So he ended up becoming, he went into chinuch instead or something. Lo aleinu, some terrible tragedy like that. Right? We have to really reorient our minds. And this is really what Amalek is all about. Says Rav Putner, if we were to present the following question, put the following question on the table. Where do we find, again, that point, that juncture, where the most important things and the ultimate falsehood kind of go head to head? The answer is Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is the biggest mockery of what? Of the fact that there actually is a God. It's the biggest leitzanus in the world. To say that I'm going to worship some idol, to worship some statue, to worship some false ideology, and to fail to recognize the truth of Hashem in the world, that worship is itself the biggest mockery of Hashem, and it shows you don't know the first thing about what's truly important, because Hashem is the ultimate thing, is everything that is important. Ki ein lacha chashivas yoser gedola ben avoda, because there's nothing more chashiv than being an Eved Hashem, of serving the true God. And there's no greater falsehood than what? Than worshipping Avodah Zarah. But often the Eitzel HaAdam Ha'Oved HaSa'alil Koach HaHilel Nitzeach Amnam Es Koach HaZilzo Shekol Atzma Shel Avoda Eina El Metzius Shel Hilel Aval Koach HaHilel Poel Kan B'Shetach Shel Hefach HaEmes. In other words, what you're doing when you worship before the Zara is you're taking that praise and you're praising the ultimate sheker, the ultimate falsehood, instead of being able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the most corrupt way to use the most descriptive midah of a person. Again, if hilul, if what you praise is the greatest revelation of who you are, so when you praise the ultimate falsehood, so what you're doing is you're saying that you're the most broken, messed up person that ever was. So a Amalek, whose whole essence is Leitzanus, a Amalek who attacked the Jewish people at a time where it was so clear, more than ever, that Hashem was on our side, a Amalek was the ultimate people to say, we don't give a darn about Hashem. We're not impressed. We give it no chashivus whatsoever. It's totally not important. We're totally not impressed. And when you have that type of attitude, when you reject such an open revelation of Hashem in the world, you can't survive. You can't even get a tikkun in the Achras HaYamim. You can't even be fixed when Mashiach comes. Chaver, I know the hour is late. I want to just end. I want to jump ahead just to two final points. Rav Putner writes in the next paragraph. Mashma'usa, right over here. Mashma'utza shel leitzanusa d'avodah zarahi. What is the mashmaus? What is the meaning of making fun of avodah zarah? What does that mean? Why did Chazal use that language? Koach hachilul hanolan mikoach hachilul. The ability to what? The ability to praise Hashem by rejecting falsehood. Ohavei Hashem sinura. You know the pasuk? Ohavei Hashem sinura. If we love Hashem, then we have to despise evil. We can't be passive about it. We have to have our heads screwed on straight to know what really matters. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy silly things in the world once in a while. I mean, Nachman talks about the ability of using a certain type of leitzanus, right, in a way of holiness. There's a time to have fun and to be silly, but I have to be able to really know at my core what really matters. What is important? What am I pursuing? Who do I look up to? Who am I impressed by? If I can't answer that question in the right way, then it undermines my whole existence. Adam lefi mahalo, a person is according to what he praises. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah taught us. And therefore, write to the Mesilas Yesharim. Kosev the Mesilas Yesharim. One bit of leitzanus can drive away what? 100 rebukes. 100 rebukes. You know, there was a time someone once came over, I think I shared this with some of you one time, that someone came over to the great Mashkiach Rav Shlomo Volbe. And they told Rav Shlomo Volbe after he had given some shir or some musar shmuz, they said, Rebbe, that was the most unbelievable shmuz. Like it's so deeply etched into my heart, it changed my life forever. Rav Volbe says, "Yeah, you think so? I could refute the whole thing with three words. I could refute This Bachar said, no, he said, it's in me forever. I absorbed it in such a deep way. There's nothing, Rav Volpe says, you're wrong. I'm telling you, I could erase the whole shir in three words. So the Bachar said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? So he says, I'll tell you, ha, ha, ha. That's it. That's all it takes. A little bit of laughing, a little bit of cynicism, and all of a sudden your whole spiritual world crumbles. You meet some militant atheist in the world who just says one really nasty comment about your religious practices, and all of a sudden you feel like your whole emunah just like crumbles. How could that be? Because that's how negative, that's how destructive leitzanis is. It's a malik, it's poison. Leitzanis achas, one bit of leitzanis can be docha mea tochachos, can push aside 100 musar shmuzim, can push aside 100 rebukes. Let's pause for a second. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay? How is it that one can push aside 100? You know, there's a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga that says you can't compare a person who learns something 100 times to a person who learns something 101 times. Right? Very mysterious Gemara. There's an amazing secret when it comes to Amalek. Okay? Take a look at this. The way to understand the name Amalek, the very name Amalek is Amel Kuf. What is Amel? Amel means Amelus, to put an effort, to work hard at something. Right? And Kuf, of course, is 100. It's a numerical value of 100. So there's reality that a person can what? Like we just learned. A person could learn something 100 times. A person could hear 100 shmuzim about how to improve himself and what Jews believe and what's important. And he could feel deeply connected to it. But one bit of leitzanis, like the Mesilas Yesharim says, Amalek is what? They're waging battle against the Amal Kuf. You worked 100 times to build yourself up. You came to 100 shiurim. But one bit of real leitzanis, of real negativity, of real cynicism, could tear the whole thing right down. That is such a scary idea. And therefore, leitz takeh, says Mishle, leitz takeh, drive that midah of leitzanis out of your life. It is poison. It can't even be fixed. When Mashiach comes, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, the God that is now ours, Hashem Echad is going to be the God of the whole universe. When Mashiach comes, Mashiach's like, I can't work with a Malik. There's nothing I can do to help a Malik. Nechama LaHashem BaMalik. You're waging war against God. I can't. You reject truth. And your whole existence is sheker. There's nothing I can do to fix you. Let's read one final paragraph. Says Rav Futner in Osuvav. V'ayin l'shono shel Rashi Parsha Zachar. We know that we're going to read in Tu Shavasim, the mitzvah d'araisa, to read, to recall what Amalek tried to do to us. And we say about Amalek, asher karcha baderech, that they encountered us on the road. And Rashi has many interpretations of karcha. One of them is, lashon kor v'chom tzinencha. It's a lashon of cold and hot, tzinencha. They cooled you off. Amalek cooled you off. They cooled you off from being roteach. Roteach means boiling, bubbling. We came out of Mitzrayim. We saw the miracles of the Eser Makos. We saw Kriyas Yamsuf. Every Jew was what? On fire for Hashem. And all the nations were terrified of us. The whole world was afraid to start up with us. But this one showed up and said, I'm not here to begin. V'hera makum la'achirim, and pave the way for others. Amalek, like we said, how do we begin this year? With the pasuk in Parshas Balak, Rashis Gayim Amalek, the first one to attack. Because they said, we're not impressed by anything. No matter how powerful your God is, it doesn't mean anything to us. You know what? How deep that leitzanis has to be to say such a thing? Rashi gives a mashal. Mashal la'ambati rotachas. It's like a boiling hot, bathtub. She'ein kol bria yechola le'ered b'socha. The water's too hot for anyone to go into it. Imagine a pot right off the fire, boiling water. Ba ben Belial, a foolish person came, and kafatz v'yared b'socha. And he jumps and goes into it. He jumps into the boiling hot water. Va'af al pi shenichva, even though he's scalded, he's burnt. He destroys himself in the process. Hey, Keira Osab Bifnei Acherim. He cooled it off for others. That's what Amalek did. Amalek said, we don't even care, we don't even value our own life. They were suicidal. They were prepared to what? They were prepared to throw themselves into the scalding water just to cool off Klal Yisrael. Their whole mida is just to drag someone else down. They have no inherent purpose for themselves. Klomar ein sof inyanu shel amalek b'zeh shabav v'nilchem b'Yisrael. Says Rav Hudner, Amalek is not our enemy simply because they fought a war against us. That's not what makes them so evil. Elish sof inyanu hu b'zeh shemelchamto shel amalek garma zilzul b'chashivuso shel Yisrael. What makes Amalek so evil is that the mezalzel, the Jewish people who are the most chashiv people in the world, and we have to know that. We have to know who we are, we have to be proud of it. And there's going to be many kochos of leitzanis in the world that are laughing at you. But we have to remember that right next to Amalek is the Vayishma Yisro. Right? Yisro had the humility to say, you know what? I'm going to be mevatel myself to something bigger than myself. Yisro was a chashiv person. He was very successful, in quotations, in the eyes of the world. Yisro was super successful. Yisro was a person who was big time. He's Kohen Midian. And Yisro says, you know what? When I see the MS, I have the humility not to make fun of it so I can keep living my falsehood, but I submit myself to it. And again, that's the danger. That's the threat of Amalek. That's the danger of Amalek. So Chevra, what does it mean to be a real, to be a real Ben Torah? Putner says, what do you value? It's not just about, of course, of a lifetime. We want to learn a lot of Torah. We want to know a lot of Torah. We want to do a lot of mitzvos. But it's also really important. There are times in your life where there's going to be other things. You're not able to learn all day. You have other responsibilities. But don't lose sight of what's important. Don't be confused by what's really chashuv in the world. This is such a fundamental idea. And that's why Rashis Gaim Amalek, they had the audacity to attack us when we were at our heights, and because that achriso, their end, ade ovid, utter destruction. Because if you can't look up to someone who is holier than you, who is bigger than you, right, who lives more meaningfully than you, Then that late sunnis can destroy a person completely. Mam is such a scary midah. Okay, so we should be zocha to look up to the right people, to have the right role models, to value the right things, to be envious, to be jealous of the right things, To want to daven like someone who davens well, to want to learn like someone who learns well, to want to talk in a sweet and gentle way like a person who talks in a nice way. To want to have a Shabbos table that looks like a person who has a proper Shabbat, that's what we should be jealous of. That's what we should be envious of in this world. And Amir Tzashem, if we do that, then Ish Lefi Mahalo. Right? Then we'll be, not only will we be, seen well in the eyes of people, but Hashem will look at us in a beautiful way as well. Alright, Chava, this is the Yesod of Rav Hudner. Pachad Yitzchak Maimer Aleph. It's a very chashuv Maimer. Any thoughts, comments, questions, thoughts? Reflections, go for it, Avi.
Yeah, Rebbe, I got a quick comment.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I thought it was very, we were saying before how Amalek, they kind of just try to take that fire from us. It's exactly like we said in Shir the other day that Yisrael minus the match of Ish is Amalek.
That's right.
When they try to take that from
that's right. Yisrael minus the Ish is Amalek. That's right. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu was, in this past week's, Parsha Shkalim, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out the story with the shekel, so Hashem showed him a matbeya shel esh, a coin on fire. Why did they have to show him a coin on fire? To show him a coin. Right? But he was revealing to him that, no, shekel is the same gematria as nefesh, the Sfarim say. A Jewish soul, a nefesh, a Yehudi, is on fire. A Jewish soul is on fire. But Amalek always tries to cool it off. Amalek says, yeah, don't be like, don't be so passionate about your Judaism. And it's like tzanis. That can cool a person off in such a scary... The Chavetz Chaim once said a very scary thing. The Chavetz Chaim said, I think, to either his son or his grandson, the Chavetz Chaim said, I see how much colder of a Jew you are than I am. And the Chavetz Chaim said, and I see how much colder, your son is than you. And the Chavetz Chaim said, hold on, I'm pulling it up. I have it in my notes here. I got to find it. The Chavetz Chaim said, I want to read the Lashon. It was very intense. And the Chavetz Chaim said to his son, listen, you're colder than I am. Your children will be colder than you are. And their children will be even colder. How far will this cooling go? And that's the question. We got to reverse the trajectory of like just becoming more and more apathetic towards Torah values. We need to become more on fire for Hashem. It's as simple as that. Avi, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I just had a comment and a question.
Go for it.
First comment is that when you mentioned like Yisro and what he saw, kind of reminded me of like, I guess Lahav the Mark Twain, like what Mark Twain saw in the Jews,
right.
That Jews like can't be stopped, and he was very hush of, but he's remembered in history for a long time and how like Jews can't be defeated like other nations that have been destroyed and were once powerful.
Right, it's a courageous thing when someone from the world is willing to acknowledge that truth. It takes a certain humility, right? But that's, you know, pesi arim, that a simpleton becomes wise when he studies the truth of the Jewish people in an honest way. Yeah.
Yeah, and also a question. So how do we fight back like Labaisa against that late son of three? Just have to hate it and make fun of it back, or
right? So that's part of the, you know, the pushback of the making fun of Avodah Zarah. Again, it seems like it's such a not nice way to, you know. But sometimes you have to, you know. Sometimes you got to meet the person where they are. So if there's a spirit of Leitzanis to mock that which is holy and true, so then sometimes, yeah, again, it's not the nicest thing. But Chazal is saying it's a halacha. You know, you can make fun of Avodah Zarah because you need to remind yourself how silly it is. Because otherwise, it becomes your reality. You start to think it's real. You start to think it's truth. Right, so, you know, we have to, halavai, there should be no late sonnets in the world. We should uproot Amalek completely. But if there's going to be a koach that makes fun of holy things, so we have to poke fun a little bit at the silliness of, you know, of the way that sometimes people live. Not that we're trying to speak bad about people, but it's a reminder to ourselves. We have to have a clarity in these things. We have to know what we're about. You know, so I think that's the pushback. That's what we have to do, and that's what this heter is: make fun of things that are sheker, because otherwise it becomes a false god. It becomes its own value, right? The pursuit of making more money becomes a god that people worship. The Chida says that when the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was destroyed, it was replaced by the Yetzirah for Taivas Mamon. It's a real Avodah Zarah. We don't have we don't know what the taiva of bowing down to an idol is, but we know the taiva of, you know, never being satisfied with our gashmias. So that's our avodah zarah in our world today. It's a serious thing. Yeah, Reb Dovi, what do you want to say?
Hi, Ron. I remember she was speaking about like if there is no like from Haman came like a lot of bracha. It's very tough. Every single situation is like a double-edged sword,
right,
almost in a sense, where there's equal bad and good. But like, so if you're looking at Amalek, what are you meant to? Is the other edge of the sword that you meant to just see such a difference to whether you meant to live your life,
right,
or what's the other sword we meant to learn from that?
That's a good question, right? I was actually spent a lot of time on Friday thinking about this question because again, we're learning now that Amalek has no tikkun whatsoever, right? They're utterly Adeovid. They deserve to be completely annihilated and nothing good comes from them. But we also know, like you just said, right, that the descendants of Haman learned Torah in Bnei Brak. That in some mysterious way, something good actually did come from the world of Amalek. So we need to understand, you know, how is that? How could that be? How is it possible that something good came from Amalek? I don't know, can we check? So I don't know. I'm trying actually to really understand, right? I mean, on Purim, we're supposed to say Baruch Haman. And again, the whole Yom Tov of Purim, the Simcha of Purim, like we said, is born out of Amalek's attack. So it's, you know, I'm working on it. I'm working on that sugya. On the one hand, they're absolutely worthless, completely need to be destroyed. On the other hand, we do find that there is, you know, there's even there's some tiny nekuda that can be salvaged, but we have to understand what that means. It's not salvaged in the same way that a pintle yid is salvaged when a Jew falls apart, but the spark inside of him remains pure. It's a different thing. I have to figure out. Working on it. Help me work on it. Think about it. Yona Eden, you wanted to say something?
Like two mini questions. One, let's say someone likes both sides, likes the side of being, looks up to the tzaddik, and then also sometimes he's looking up, like, looks at the Goshner side. And then two, let's say someone, he obviously, like, likes looking up to the Tzaddik, but also, like, gets a little bit jealous of that side.
But that's a good jealousy. That's a kinas, you know, the Gemara says, kinas sofrim tar bechachma. The jealousy of you know, Talmidei Chachamim creates a positive type of jealousy. It increases, and that jealousy increases, right? Tarbe Chachma, increases wisdom, because I want to strive to be something more. I try to make myself into a bigger person. But of course, it's a process, you know. Of course, it's a process. But hopefully, again, if you're pointed in the right direction and you're growing in the right way over the course of a lifetime, like, you start to see what you value changes. You know, and you look back and it seems almost like Leitzanis. It seems silly when you look back and, like, how crazy I used to be about following my favorite sports team, or how crazy I used to be about this or that, you know. Hopefully you graduate from those things. Again, there's a healthy, normal things that, you know, toys that children play with. But hopefully as you become an adult, right, you graduate from the world of, you know, child's toys to more, you know, adult ideas. Right, and you've lived more, again, purposefully. So, you know, it's a process, but of course it's still, you know, still get kishmak out of watching a good ball game like this. That doesn't mean, right? But again, hopefully over the course of a lifetime, right, the things that you really genuinely look up to and value and appreciate become holy things. Torah and mitzvos, righteous people, you know. Again, it's a process, but that really, again, this is such an important Rabbeinu Yonah, that defines a person. A person is defined by what does he value, what does he appreciate, what does he look up to. Okay, so we should look up to the right things. Yeah, you want to add one more thing?
Sorry. Let's say looking at these things causes you to, like, kind of, I mean, saying looking at, like, a tzaddik, like, let's say kind of causes you to have, like, a little bit of a yetzer hara to want to do more and, like, just push yourself so much to the point that you can't.
You have to know you're not him. You're not, right? I mean, the danger of being in the presence of tzaddikim is that you get, like, you know, you learn, like, oh, I'm gonna start shuckling and eating and davening and learning like the tzaddik. You have to be, a person has to be realistic. No one becomes a tzaddik overnight. You know, so you have to be growing and pushing yourself, but it has to be done in a healthy way. Otherwise, you're gonna just crash. You have to have the maturity. Growing, spiritual growth takes patience and takes maturity. And it's not always more is better. And it's not always, certainly not always, like, faster and, like, stronger and more intense. It can be very destructive. Very, very destructive. I always make that statement loud and clear. And by the way, just reflecting on the history of guys who've, you know, been in our shir, some guys absorbed in the right way. And I think there are some guys who don't live in a healthy way. Maybe they're too intense. Right? And maybe that has a negative effect on their growth. So you have to be patient. You have to be thoughtful. You have to be patient. You have to know, like, what's age appropriate. You know, it's not just about, like, throwing on, like, different, I don't know, throwing on a black hat because you think that makes you from. It's about working on your soul and growing in a healthy, balanced way. But you have to be able to see a tzaddik and also still be normal. I'm not a tzaddik. I'm not a tzaddik, but I'm not a tzaddik like that type of tzaddik, quite yet. You know, that's the avoda. All right, chavetz lit. I don't want to hold anyone hostage. I'm sure people have to go buy tickets. Yish l'pi mahalala. Right? It's okay. We got to root for our friends. Baruch Hashem.